continue.
Now, The Drive with Terry Moore on CFAX 1070.
Well, an absolutely incredible report has been released on the John Gomeshi case with the CBC. And the essence of the report that was released says that in our conclusion, CBC failed to live up to its obligations to provide its employees a workplace that is free from disrespectful and abusive behavior. It failed to take a decisive step to deal with Mr. Gomeshi in the workplace. The actions taken by managers were ineffective, infrequent, inconsistent. Indeed, this tacit acceptance of disrespectful and abusive behavior was contrary to the behavioral standards and had the effect of condoning that kind of behavior. Well, here's the question. Is this going to have a major effect right across this country in all businesses and offices? What are the legalities involved here? Are these types of disturbing behaviors rare? Are they reserved for celebrities, or do they persist in some typical workplaces? Some of the litany that is in here that Mr. Gomeshi was involved in within the office environment would shock you. It is also a situation that we must be very careful as to the way that we are discussing this, because in this country, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. So we've asked a lawyer to protect us and come into the studio and talk about this very complicated case. Michael Mulligan is a criminal lawyer with Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation, and he's joining us in the studio. Good to see you again, Michael. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, you've looked at some of the transcripts of some of the transcripts. But the evidence that this investigation took. What's your take on what you see here about how this was conducted and what they've gleaned from looking into the issues of Mr. Gomeshi?
Well, first of all, the overriding picture here is an extremely unfavorable one of Mr. Gomeshi. My impression reading it is that he comes across like some combination of Michael from the TV show The Office and Dr. Evil. He engages, according to the report, in a litany of completely unsavory and disrespectful conduct in the workplace, cruel practical jokes, showing up chronically late, giving people unwanted information about his sexual practices, giving people unwanted massages, yelling at people, being mean, temperamental, moody. It's a completely unflattering picture of this fellow. One of the key findings that the authors of the report came to is that some of that seemed to flow out of what they described as host culture at the CBC, whereby the host of the show was viewed as sort of the most important, untouchable person in the operation.
Yeah.
And they were surrounded by a group of junior staff members and managers who had no real capacity to discipline
or
do anything. Yes, people. That's right. So it seemed like they had a serious systemic management problem. The report also identifies three particular instances where management had information about Mr. Gomeshi's apparently inappropriate workplace conduct, and they didn't adequately follow up and deal with it.
But he also sat down at one point with management and said, this is what I do, but I'm a private citizen, and what I do with my private life and my sexual behavior is none of your business, basically.
Yes, and what he's doing out of the office wouldn't be necessarily the issue of CBC management, but this report deals with inappropriate conduct
in
the workplace. So he's, according to the report, engaged in sexual harassment of people in the workplace, touching them inappropriately, speaking to them in a disrespectful, inappropriate fashion, making all manner of people feel completely unsafe and disrespected in the workplace, and that's squarely within the responsibility of management.
And in part two of the analysis and the evidence and the conclusions, they say that we found the evidence compelling even in the absence of Mr. Gomeshi's participation in this process. He was invited. to participate in this investigation, and he refused to do so. They say, therefore, we have concluded that elements of Mr. Gomeshi's workplace behavior consistently breach the behavioral standard. There may have been aspects of Mr. Gomeshi's behavior that alone would have been merely inconvenient or inconsiderate and not contravened what they call the behavioral standard. Similarly, there may have been aspects of his behavior that, if only occasionally exhibited, would not have fallen below what is acceptable. However, the aggregate effect of the various behaviors and conduct, both in the terms of the volumes and the impact and the persistence as described in this report, meant that his behavior fell well below what they call the behavioral standard. What is behavioral standard?
That's a good question. The author of the report looked at a number of sources for setting out what would be appropriate workplace conduct.
Right.
The sources of the behavioral standard that they referred to include things like the Human Rights Code, in terms of how people are required to act in a non-discriminatory fashion. They looked at the CBC's own internal policies. They looked at the collective agreement put in place by the union and management. And many of those have common themes to them. This report doesn't deal with allegations of criminal conduct. It's dealing with allegations of disrespectful, inappropriate workplace behavior.
Right.
So while there's some overlap there, I suppose, in terms of
things. This goes away from the criminal charges.
Correct.
And he's going back to trial on April the 28th.
Correct.
But does this not, though, give his lawyers, with the release of this information, and I'm sure every talk show across this country and television stations and all, they're all looking at this because of the prurient nature of it. But does it not also then give the Gomeshi lawyers the opportunity to say, he can't get a fair trial here? Look at the kind of anti-publicity that's on here. I mean, as I said, anybody is proven or is innocent till proven guilty. Is this going against the grain?
Well, the report doesn't deal with the criminal allegations.
Okay.
The report isn't looking into did he sexually assault people. This report is looking at whether his workplace behavior was in breach of human rights codes, workplace conduct guidelines.
So that's a civil issue.
Correct.
So not a criminal issue.
That is correct.
Okay. Yes. So we can talk about it as much as we want.
Yes.
Within reason.
That's true. I mean, there's no doubt this is unhelpful from the point of view of somebody defending him. It paints an awful picture of this person's character and conduct.
Well, he was asked to participate, and he refused to do it.
So, that's true, and not unexpected, I suppose.
Unexpected. All right, we'll pick up on some of those points. I want to find out how it's going to relate to offices across this country as well. Okay, so we'll pick up on that when we get back. Talking with Michael Mulligan. He's a criminal lawyer with Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation, and I know how anxious you are. You're standing right by that telephone. Okay, TJ, you ready to do it? Hit that button.
The CFAX 1070 Great Grocery Giveaway. From Thrifty Foods and CFAX 1070.
It is time to play the CFAX 1070 Great Grocery Giveaway. You could win groceries for a whole year. Now, the daily qualifier prize is a $50 smile card from Thrifty Foods. We're going to take the 20th caller right now at 250-386-1161. You tell us today's featured product is mentioned this morning at 7:15 with Al Farabee. Good luck to you. Caller number 20. All right, time to take a look at the news headlines, and here is John Spurr.
Thanks, Terry. Here are some stories in the CFAX newsroom. Over 240 more positions have been eliminated in the latest round of job cuts at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The Canadian Media Guild, a trade union, says that brings the total of a number of positions eliminated in the last year to nearly 1,400, or 17% of CBC's total workforce. Included in the cuts announced today are two full-time employees at CBC Victoria. The Royal Winnipeg Ballet has dismissed an instructor and photographer who's reportedly under a police investigation over nude photos of dancers. The ballet company announced that it had parted ways with Bruce Monk. He was named by Maclean's magazine as being under investigation for allegedly taking nude and semi-nude photos of teenage female students in the 1980s and 90s. A Florida man who flew a gyrocopter onto the lawn of the U.S. Capitol to protest campaign finance laws has been freed after being slapped with two criminal charges. Doug Hughes appeared in federal court in Washington today, where he was charged with operating an unregistered aircraft and violating national airspace. CFAX weather should be mostly sunny throughout the rest of the afternoon. Overnight, a few clouds rolling in. We'll see a low of 6 degrees. Then tomorrow, mainly sunny with a high of 16 degrees. You can find out more at CFAX1070.com.
Join the CFAX conversation on Facebook. The Drive with Terry Moore on CFAX 1070.
The Drive with Terry Moore is brought to you by
Fairway Market, local and proud of it. Over 50 years of serving Victoria families.
Everyone has an opinion.
He says on one hand it's a good deal, on the next comment he says it's not.
We've got the facts with news you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Viagra. Ask your pharmacist for the original, because if it doesn't say Pfizer, it's not Viagra. Still available at a reduced price. Visit Viagra.ca.
Luxury is reborn at the all-new Jim Pattison Lexus.
Finance rates are as low as 0.9%, with cash incentives up to $5,000.
The all-new Jim Pattison Lexus. Amazing is born. Now open on Finlayson.
Tonight at 6 on CTV News.
A Lankford family man is charged with online luring and making child pornography, leaving an upscale neighborhood near a school in shock. A stranger slips under the covers with a sleeping couple at a Victoria hotel. How did the man get inside the wrong room? And wrong way on the Pat Bay, we'll show you the dash cam video of a scary run to the ferry.
If it's happening on Vancouver Island, it's on CTV News weeknights at 5 and 6 on Channel 12.
Dinner tonight. What's the plan?
You're thinking out loud, right? Telling me the plan?
Yes. I will cook and we will eat.
Great. You picked something up?
Nope. But I have the Fairway Market flyer right here. $1.49 days this week only. Fresh frying BC grown chicken drumsticks, 3 for just $1.49.
And U.S. number one broccoli crowns, just $1.49 a pound.
Toss me the keys. I will return with the treasure.
Think fast. Nice catch.
I am a nice catch.
Fairway Market, local and proud of it. Over 50 years of serving Victoria families.
Hi, it's Tom. What was your address again? Huh, that's where I am. I thought I was at the wrong place. No, I'm on your roof, and it's in good shape. You're at least 5 years from needing it replaced. You're very welcome.
Sometimes you don't need a new roof. And if that's the deal, Aerial Roofing will tell you.
I'm Tom Williams, owner of Aerial Roofing. We're honest about roofing. For a free estimate, get in touch at aerialroofing.ca.
Hi, Jeffrey here for Barclays Fine Custom Jewelers. From fancy blue to vivid pink, canary yellow to toasty cinnamon, dazzling white to subtle champagne. Our network of diamond partners brings the world of diamonds direct to you at Barclays. Victoria's Diamond Boutique. We guarantee the finest diamonds and team with Canada's fastest credit approval company.
See Barclays Jewelers in Oak Bay Village throughout April and receive a 20% discount on all Max Strauss Diamond Anniversary Rings. For more details, see BarclaysJewelers.com.
Luxury is reborn at the all-new Jim Pattison Lexus.
Finance rates are as low as 0.9%, with cash incentives up to $5,000.
The all-new Jim Pattison Lexus. Amazing is born. Now open on Finlayson.
Traffic got you down. We'll get you up and going with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070. The CFAX 1070 Great Grocery Giveaway from Thrifty Foods and CFAX 1070.
All right, kids, we got ourselves a winner, Lori. All right, Lori Langford, and congratulations to you, Lori, because you correctly identify the PBL Essentials IsoSport Whey Protein, and you got yourself a $50 smile card from Thrifty Foods as well. Now, tomorrow, Al Farabee will give you another chance to qualify at 7:15 tomorrow morning, and that winner will qualify for groceries for a whole year. That also means you too, Lori. And the grand prize draw is coming shortly, April the 27th on a Monday, for a $6,000 smile card from Thrifty Foods. Once again, congratulations to Lori Langford.
Talking you through your commute, it's The Drive with Terry Moore on CFAX 1070.
Michael Mulligan in the studio with me is a criminal lawyer with the Mulligan Tam Pearson Law Corporation. We're looking at this report on John Gomeshi and what was just released today. And boy, some incredible evidence that's in here of a civil nature. And it really is something. Mr. Gomeshi was invited to participate in this investigation and he refused to do so. But it shows that it almost gives you the impression that the inmates are running the asylum.
That's exactly right. One of the key conclusions here was this host culture, where the host of the show seemed to be free to do whatever they wished. the management person there, this executive director, had no capacity to, executive producer.
Yeah, they don't.
Had no capacity to discipline the host.
No.
And the perception was that if Mr. Gomeshi was unhappy with what the executive producer might ask him to do, he could simply go up the management food chain and get him overruled.
Right.
So he seemed to have a pretty well free hand to carry on with this gross conduct in the workplace.
Well, in this studio where you are right now and where we're working and when all the hosts come in here, basically we're the captains of the ship, okay, while we're in here. We work with producers, and they work very hard to come up with topics that they think are going to work. If we're not comfortable with some of those topics, then we can say, no, it doesn't work for me, and then they'll get something else or pass it on to another host. My technical producer, T.J. Mulland, or Corey Polkinghorne, who's ever here in the chair, they tell us what has to be done from a technical point of view, and he lets us know, you know, when the time's up and so on and so forth. But we do have the right to turn around and say, no, we're not comfortable with that. But that doesn't mean to say that the people who are also the management of this radio station, they're not going to stand for anybody who happens to be on the air that goes contrary to what some of these standards are that they're talking about across this country. So there's a totally different kind of a culture within that environment than what they're talking about here at the CBC.
Yes, and there ought to be a fair degree of latitude for somebody who's in a journalistic position, how they're going to report
Absolutely.
Something, what they're going
Sure.
to deal with. Management shouldn't be interfering with that routinely. But the conduct here is not on-air conduct.
No,
the
it's
conduct
not.
Complained of here is the host massaging people, telling them about his sexual telling people about his sexual conquests.
Yes.
Belittling people, ignoring them, just behaving in a completely inappropriate way in the workplace. And there's no need for independence of that sort.
What does it say to you as a criminal lawyer taking a look at companies right across this country, and whether they're private the companies or whether it happens to be within the, you know, the provincial, federal government offices, whatever it may be, what does it say about sexual harassment and that kind of behavior? Does it raise the bar for corporations and companies to keep their eyes out for people who may be breaking some of these rules and getting away with it?
Well, it certainly should be an alert. I mean, happily and properly, there's a wide gulf between what's appropriate workplace conduct and what's criminal. If you were a management of a large company, you would be well advised to reflect upon the conclusions in this report and how this workplace environment apparently got completely out of control.
From your point of view right now, what would you see in relationship to any changes in law? Is there anything in there that would suggest that some of the laws in this country have to be changed when it comes to conduct?
It looks like the legal framework was an appropriate one. I mean, the author of the report references the Human Rights Code, and it would prohibit much of the sort of conduct we've talked about. The problem here seems to be a complete failure to implement and enforce it in the workplace.
And that's part of the problem, is they looked the other way and said, well, listen, he's a host of a show, and let's not rattle the cage because we've got he's a popular guy. Da 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 da. But it gives you the whole thing that's the matter with some areas of our society. You know, we think that some of these people think they can walk on water.
That's right. The standard of conduct is appropriate. It's a matter of enforcing it.
And it was not enforced.
That's certainly the impression this report gives off.
What suggestions would you as a criminal lawyer give to corporations, companies, small companies, large companies, etc., to put in and make sure that what the standards are with their office staff and so on, that they're being adhered to?
Well, one of the messages may be this. I mean, the criminal law is at the extreme end of these things. The criminal law would deal with sexual assault, so sort of unwanted sexual touching, or criminal harassment, or things which can be the extreme end of this continuum. But if you had a company which had in place appropriate procedures that made it clear that a culture like the one described in this report is unacceptable, you may well put an end to a pattern of conduct that might eventually lead to the extreme conduct, which would be criminal charges.
Good point.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is it also shows the kind of society that we have developed in this country over the last many years. There is a sense of entitlement here.
Well, I would hope that the sort of outrageous conduct described in this report is not common in most workplaces.
I would hope so. But certainly entitlement was there. Stardom and entitlement. I can do whatever I want.
Yes, that is a central feature of the report.
It certainly is. Okay. Yeah. Let's switch direction now for a moment here. Law Society of British Columbia wants to create a new class of legal service providers who would help increase access to the justice system. Now, I've heard about this before. They are saying that a recent report written by a task force led by the Law Society says that certified paralegals would be a lower cost, credentialed, regulated professionals who can tackle issues within family law, advocate for clients before administrative tribunals and small claims court, and handle residential tenancy disputes. In effect, take the opportunity to put paralegals into place to take off some of the load that some people are experiencing as lawyers in this country, because they say that in some cases lawyers are not interested in dealing with tenancy situations, etc. They have bigger fish to fry as such. What's your take on this suggestion?
It depends how it's done. One of the things which I don't think has been properly tied in with this issue is that the key function of the Law Society is to act in the public interest, and yes. One of the key elements of that is to ensure that people are getting competent, well-trained individuals giving them legal advice and handling their matters. Even if something like a residential tenancy dispute might not seem important in the grand scheme of things, it may be extremely important to the persons involved. We, in fact, have in British Columbia people who act as paralegals now, but under the supervision and the responsibility of a lawyer. So what seems to be talked about here is the idea of having paralegals acting in a more independent way with less supervision. And I'm not sure that's a wise approach.
Does that mean training a group of people in specifically in certain areas and not being people who may be in law school and doing some work?
The idea seems to be sort of that paralegals would have less legal education and be engaged in sort of more narrow areas of practice. We do have, of course, a category of people who are articling students, who are people that have a full legal education, that under the supervision of a lawyer are being trained before they're allowed to practice independently.
Yeah.
And some of these areas are areas that articling students would traditionally handle at a lower cost for clients while they're being supervised and trained by a lawyer, and they're somebody who has the benefit of a full legal education. There are, in some cases, people in that category who are having trouble finding work to do. So we may not have a shortage that we need to pick up by inserting people with a lesser degree of training to have them operate in a way that's less well supervised than they currently are.
Now, as a lawyer, would you then vote no for this sort of a suggestion?
It would depend how it's done.
Okay.
I mean, the current model, we have paralegals, but they would operate under the supervision of a lawyer.
Gotcha.
And some of the areas that were expressed as areas where there's been a lack of sufficient service being provided, things like residential tenancy or some areas of poverty law, I'm not sure that this idea of increased scope of practice for independent paralegals is going to solve some of those problems, because they're, for anyone, not going to be an economic area of practice.
Okay.
If you're dealing with somebody who is in a poverty law being evicted or trying to get their social assistance benefits, there isn't going to be a marketplace for that. We had a category of paralegals who did much of that work in British Columbia, working for legal aid offices before they were fired and shut down following the 2001 change of government here.
All right. Listen, good to see you. Thank you for coming in. Michael Mulligan, criminal lawyer, Mulligan, Tam, Pearson Law. Back with you after